Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue our discussion and reflection on the Lord's Prayer. It's a great place to be to walk through the Lord's Prayer in the season of Lent. This is a season of, you know, a penitential season, sacrificial season. We're a season of almsgiving, of love, service, of getting serious about our battle against sin, against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The church is leading us in love through this season because it's so important for us. It can be easy to be distracted by just the pace of life, the intensity of life, the responsibilities of life, and then to be living in a world, being plugged into the world at the level almost all of us are plugged into the world through telephones and televisions and the sheer pace of life and in the culture. We have a culture that is increasingly distancing itself, living by a different rhythm than the rhythm of the life of the church. It's so clear to see. It's becoming more intense. What's a culture? A culture is the way of life of a people, their habits, their values, where they put their time, their money, their treasure, their interest, what they value, what they elevate, what they honor. And more, our culture is being consumed by secular values. It's ignoring God, the things of God. It's devaluing the kingdom. It's devaluing Christianity. It's brand Christianity. The church's brand has been hit hard in Western culture over the last, I don't know, few hundred years, but particularly the last 50, 60 years. And we're living in a spiritual battle. That's the reason for it. And to be able to live in it and walk through it and to be what we're meant to be is a matter of walking radically with focus right to the root of our being. That's what radical means, right to the root and core of our being. Walking consciously, intentionally in the footsteps of Jesus, understanding, look, I want to be that man. I want to be conformed to him. He's the light of the world. He's my light. He's my guide. He's my master, my Lord. He's the one who's shining light into my heart, into my mind, helping me understand how to live a life that's worthy of being a son and daughter of God. I want to live in a different culture. I want to live a different way of life. I want to live the life of the kingdom. And so the church is meant to be that people of God on the earth that's living a different way of life, filled with love of God and love of neighbor, but radically clear on who we are, that we're consciously making a break from the habit patterns of this world that are inconsistent with the kingdom of God. So echoing the words of Scripture, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this fallen world that resists God, but be formed with, not formed with this world, but formed with Christ and in Christ. And the church in this penitential season takes a good hard look at where are we really? Where am I at personally? Where's my family at? How have I been leading my family? How's my marriage? Is it reflecting what, you know, the kingdom of God is meant to look like in a marriage? How is the business I'm running that I'm responsible for? How am I living it out in my vocation, in the workplace? Am I salt? Am I light? Really? How do I use my time, my entertainment? What am I doing with my money? Where's my mind most of the time? All these things matter because we're given one life to live, friends, and that life has been given to us by God. And he has a purpose for us and a plan for us. And the only life that makes sense is a life that's united and aligned with God's purposes for us. We know that ultimately that life is short. We're going to be dead soon. Life is a breath and a passing shadow. And what we know for sure is we're going to die. We don't know when, but we're going to die. And then our life is destined. We know for sure that there's an appointment, a meeting in my future, as I stand before the judgment seat of God. I have to give an account of my life. Jesus made it very clear to us that we're meant to bear fruit. So the church doesn't live on cruise control. The church, in her maturity, in her life, in her formation, in being light, is deeply concerned that we make the most of the time, that we value each moment of each day, and that we understand why we're here and the journey that we're on and what we're journeying toward. And we look back from where we're going You know, there's the famous seven habits of highly effective people, I think. And one of the habits was, you know, begin your journey, begin with the end in view. What's your goal? So people say, you know, my goal is to have this kind of company, to build this kind of company. So, okay, that's where I want to go. How am I going to get there? So you build toward it. You go all back and you start and you say, well, where I'm going and what I'm doing, will it help me reach my goal? That's good practical wisdom. But it's mostly applied to goals in this world. We ought to say what my real end is I'm going to be standing before God and he's given me a life and he's going to, in a split second, it's going to be revealed to me and to everybody else how I responded to the call that he made in my life. So the church has a deep sense of urgency in this season. And today, the petition I want to look at from the Lord's Prayer is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And this is big. I mean, they're all big. All these petitions are big. But this is really significant because it's difficult and it's easy to miss the real heart and the radical nature of what the Lord's after here, because it's a conditional proposition. We're actually praying. Jesus is teaching us to pray in a conditional way. Father, forgive us as we forgive others. He's not just saying, pray and ask God the Father to forgive you. He's saying, forgive us as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. So the Catechism, paragraph 2838, says, this petition is astonishing. It is astonishing. If it consisted only of the first phrase, I'm quoting here now, and forgive us our trespasses, it might have been included implicitly in the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Since Christ's sacrifice is that sins may be forgiven. But according to the second phrase, our petition will not be heard unless we have first met a strict requirement. Let me read that again. Our petition to have our sins forgiven will not be heard unless we have first met a strict requirement. Our petition looks to the future, but our response must come first, for the two parts are joined by the single word as. Again, conditional. So, forgive us our trespasses. We know that at the heart of the good news is God's mercy that has come to us in Christ. He's come to take away our sin. Sin's a big deal, very big deal. Death comes through sin. And what death we're talking about is not only natural death, the consequences of sin, but eternal death, eternal separation from God, which is beyond horrible to think about. Eternal punishment, eternal separation from God. So serious is it that God sent forth his Son into the world. He became sin for us. He died on a cross. He paid our debt. He took away sin. He made his life an offering to God, an offering of love, and that love broke the back and the power of the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus established a church, a living sign of his reign, of his power, of the new creation that's begun. And he's empowered the church to be able to be an instrument of forgiveness. And he's given us the priesthood. He's given us the sacraments. He's given us the sacrament of reconciliation. Paragraph 2840 says, now, and this is daunting, this outpouring of mercy that's come to us in the person of Jesus cannot penetrate our hearts as long as we have not forgiven those who have trespassed against us. Love, like the body of Christ, is indivisible. We cannot love God. We cannot love the God. We cannot see if we do not love the brother or sister that we do see. That's a direct quote from 1 John. In refusing to forgive our brothers and sisters, our hearts are closed, and their hardness makes them impervious to the Father's merciful love. But in confessing our sins, our hearts are opened to his grace. Open to his grace. So it begins with, you know, there's many passages that talk very seriously about how God looks at this. He expects us, he says, you've received mercy, extend mercy. Freely you've received, freely give. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of Jesus. That's what it means to be perfect, even to the point of loving our enemies. And it's important to see here, Jesus isn't saying, and it's easy to get caught up in this, to say, when you feel good about somebody, forgive them. Or You can only forgive if you feel like forgiving. Forgiveness is an expression of love and obedience to God. Living under the providence of God, trusting in God, understanding that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He loved me even when I was his enemy. I know that reality, that in my conversion, I came by God's grace to understand that, in that what God did for me is overwhelming in its kindness and its goodness, and it's radically undeserved. So Jesus said, that's what he's like, that's what the Father's like, and that's what he insists his followers be like. So he's not saying, if you feel like it, do it. He's commanding us to do it. And so that means he's going to give us the grace to be able to do it. And it means it's a decision first, it's not a feeling. It's a decision to obey the Lord. It's a decision to come under the lordship of Jesus. One of the things that we've seen all over the world in the ministry mission teams we've sent around the world, and our friends in Live Free, the Kazangians, and the work that they're doing in ministering the five keys to freedom, and Neil Lozano and Unbound Ministry, and those, one of the things that universally you can see is that the biggest obstacle to baptized people coming into the freedom and the sons and daughters of God and coming into the grace and the ability to live in freedom and peace in our hearts and joy is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness blocks the work of God in us. It's a way of refusing to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ and to say, I won't forgive. I'm not going to forgive that person because what that person did to me. I want that person to feel it and know it. People make vows, right? Because they've been hurt deeply. People have sinned against us, possibly. You say, I will never forgive that person. We somehow in our mind have a limit to what people can be forgiven for. That's not God's limit, that's our limit. And we want to hold people we want them to feel the pain. We want them to feel pain because of what they've done to us. We don't want to let them off the hook. And instead of forgiving and being generous and loving, even loving our enemies like Jesus commands us to love our enemies, that's what's so radical. That's the most radical thing, I think, in the gospel, the command for us to love those who hate us. Jesus said, what good is it to love those who love you? It's an easy thing to do. Jesus said, but I tell you to love those who hate you, to pray for those who persecute you. And love is a decision to will the good of the other. And so making a decision to forgive is to be a disciple that understands you live under the providence of God. You live under the lordship of Jesus. You live by his worldview. You live by the values of the kingdom. And you understand that your calling now in the command of your master is to will the good of the other. And so to will the good is a way of expressing love. I want to live in love. That's ultimately what I want to do, Jesus, and following your footsteps. So I forgive this person. I release them to you. And Lord, I ask you to bless them. I ask you to bless them the way you've blessed my life and even more. I forgive them. I release all debts. I hold nothing against them. And then the Holy Spirit will help us do that. Our emotions and the rest will eventually align with that. But that's not the most important thing in the moment. The most important thing in the moment is to be obedient and to decide to walk in the Lord and to trust him. God bless you, friends. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.